Welcome to Concierge Q Conversations with Chantal Westerman.
Hello, I'm Chantal Westerman, and welcome to Concierge Q, the online travel magazine where you'll find the best travel information and all you want to know about wherever you're going. And one of the ways we do that is right here with Concierge Q Conversations. Concierge Q Conversations are intimate travel portraits, that's what we like to call them, with interesting people, in fact, fascinating people from all around the world, who we like to think of as our local travel experts in the know. And please remember that you can always follow along with us at conciergeq.com. Today, we're talking to quite a guy. His name is Jim McGorman, he's one of those guys who is just, he stood in the gift line in heaven for a very long time because he got a lot of gifts. He is a multi-talented guy. He's a very wonderful singer. He's a songwriter, a producer. He plays piano, guitar, bass, and drums, lives in Los Angeles. And right now you can find him globetrotting as the guitar player for Avril Lavigne. Jim also played guitar for Shakira during the World Cup in South Africa last summer, which if you saw that was amazing. And then appeared with Avril in the 2010 Olympic closing ceremonies in Vancouver, which we have to talk about because I loved that. He's performed with Cher, Poison, INXS, written songs with people like Shakira, David Lee Roth, Aaron Neville. And if that's not enough, he is heading off with Avril next week to Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Seoul, Singapore, Jakarta, and Taipei. How do you even breathe, Jim? Good morning. So delighted to talk to you.
Oh, good morning. Nice to talk to you as well.
Now, I'm a big traveler. Of course, this is a travel magazine, so we all talk about travel. And as bizarre as my first question may be, I want you to bear with me. When you land somewhere, like let's say you land in Beijing, do you always know the first meal you want to order, the first thing you want to eat?
Not usually, because I'm probably always kind of at the whim of where we're staying and in areas mm-hmm. and how much time we have. I mean, sometimes we definitely have time to explore and do things that, you know, that are tourist type things. But sometimes it's kind of, you know, get off the plane, get there, do a sound check, do a show. And sometimes we're out of the city before I even really get to take it in. So I guess the answer would be no, but I'd always try to, you know, do as much, see as much as I can of the world.
That's very important, to at least make that effort, I think. Do you have favorite meals where you've had time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a chain called Wagamama that's in London. I believe there's one in Boston now, but I think there's a couple. There's maybe one in Amsterdam, and you know, the band guys and I, you know, if we see a Wagamama, we always go to that. And, you know, there have been meals, you know, memorable meals. I had one, I think, in Sicily was a phenomenal meal. And then just recently we were in Australia mm-hmm. and went to a steak place that was – I'm not a massive meat eater, but this place was unbelievable. It's called the Chop House in Sydney, and it was a really great meal.
I have been to the Chop House in Sydney, and nor am I a massive steak eater, to use your term. It's amazing, isn't it?
So great.
As they say, like butter.
It was just, well, especially because I don't eat it a lot, and, you know, everybody said, oh, well, you got to get the steak at this place, and it was just, it was so good. It was a phenomenal meal.
I just loved your term just a second ago, when you said me and the band guys. You really do fall into a family dynamic, don't you, when you're on the road like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in ways you spend more time with band members than you do your significant other, your wife or whoever. I mean, and you know, the thing about touring is the hours, it's like every minute you're spending with these people and most meals, you know, I mean, obviously, if, you know, we get our own hotel rooms and stuff like that. And so we're alone there, but you know, you're with these people all the time, and traveling is a stressful thing in general, and you're with these guys and you're hanging out in the airports and you're waiting around to get to know people on a tour. And you know, the guys in Avril's band, you know, we've been together for about 4 years now, so we and a lot of us also work in the studio together outside of Avril's you know, camp. So very, very close-knit group of guys.
You know, a lot of people who tune in and listen to us here and on Everyday Opera, for that matter, one of the questions they ask that we ask people like you, and you're a great candidate, is jet lag. What do you do? You know, everybody seems to have their own deal for jet lag, and you've got to have it all the time. I mean, really, the way you travel.
Yeah, we recently experienced a pretty tough bout of it. We did a trip about 2 months ago that was basically a 30-day trip, and it pretty much spanned all over the world. Left L.A. and went to Paris first. Then we went to London and then Italy and, you know, Monte Carlo. And then we went to Beijing and Japan. And, you know, traveling east from here, you know, we were kind of okay when we were in Europe, but then once we got over to Asia from there, we were all just, I mean, we never adjusted. And it was weird because usually if you're in a place for a week or two, you kind of adjust towards the end and then you have to leave. But none of us, I mean, Avril, the tour managers, the band, we were up at 3 a.m. You know, it was tough. It was really tough.
Yeah, it feels like you're walking in molasses. So you turn on Criminal Minds. You turn on all these horrible crime shows at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what I do.
It's tough. I mean, you know, definitely a lot of internet, you know, you're looking on eBay, you're reading books, you know, you're kind of catching up on all these emails and things like that. And I use Skype a lot. I use the FaceTime on I'm a big Mac guy, so I use that a lot and just try to keep in touch with family and stuff. And sometimes it works out because, you know, my parents are on the East Coast, so I'll, you know, with the time difference, if I'm up at 3 a.m, my mom's up at, you know, 7 a.m. or something, or I'll call my dad via Skype and stuff. And so I'll just catch up and try to do that.
So what you're saying then, Jim, is really there's no magic bullet for jet lag. You just have to walk through it.
I don't think so. I mean, there are these, you know, I've tried these chewable things that you're supposed to take every 2 hours on a flight.
And I've tried them.
Some people, you know, they'll try to sleep through it with a pill and kind of force themselves to sleep. And that never really works for me. I mean, you technically do get to sleep maybe for 6 or 7 hours, but then when you get up, it doesn't really feel like your real sleep. So this last trip, I just didn't use any pills at all, and I just kind of suffered through it, I guess.
What have you learned about Avril Lavigne on this tour that you didn't know? You've been with her 4 years. What do you know now about her that you didn't?
I'm not sure if there's things I didn't know, but I'm definitely seeing I'm seeing her grow up, you know, kind of before my eyes. I mean, she is, I think she's 27 now. And yeah, we met when she was like 23.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's been in this business since she was 16 years old. So, you know, it's weird when you work with younger artists. Sometimes you forget, especially if they're very successful and big stars, you forget how old they are. And, you know, they're obviously in a position of power, and they are our boss, and they, you know, are responsible for so many people's livelihoods. But, you know, in the end, they're a 26-year-old or 27-year-old little girl. So you kind of have to separate yourself sometimes and remember when you were that age and think, you know, your growth. And, you know, it's she's in a tough spot. I mean, she's obviously very blessed, but to have that kind of responsibility, I don't know if I'd enjoy that so much, and all the pressure that kind of gets put on someone of that success level. But she's definitely a trooper, and she's growing a lot. And you know, at the risk of sounding paternal, I'm proud of her. You know, I see her really making great strides, and she's taking this tour very seriously. And yeah, it's exciting.
No, you don't sound paternal. You sound like a great guy who just made a very, very good observation. That was really well observed, because we're watching her grow up as an audience as well, and we're watching her music mature, which I love.
Well, you know, every artist, I would hope, if they're going to survive in this business, would grow and adapt and you know, increase their musical repertoire. So I think she's doing that. You know, I think she's not abandoning her fans by, you know, throwing in a few songs that they're all going to love. And then she's also putting in some newer type, you know, deeper songs that really shows her growth. So I think it's a great record.
What's it like to share a stage with someone as iconic as Cher?
It's pretty great.
I bet. That's the best answer in the world, isn't it? It's pretty great.
It's pretty great. It's a little nerve-wracking. It was for me. I sang a duet with her. Mm-hmm. You know, I was probably the youngest guy in the band by, I don't know, maybe 8 years. Throughout my career, I've always kind of been the younger guy. Not anymore, but mm-hmm. When I was first starting out, I was always playing with older musicians. And I got the call for Cher. That was about 6 years ago. And, you know, my mother's a huge Cher fan. I mean, just massive. And I had known all about her and, you know, watched her in the 80s and everything. And my first show with her was in front of 20,000 people in Mexico City.
Oh, my.
And we literally, I had not rehearsed with her prior to being on the stage because she doesn't, you know, I kind of came in the middle of a tour and I was replacing someone. And she had her background singer rehearse the songs with me. And so, but, you know, everybody sings differently and you have to line up, especially when you're singing a duet with someone. You have to really blend and know their phrasing.
Yeah.
And I was playing piano. And, yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking the first few shows. But it was great.
Do you think of yourself a little bit as someone who has to become... I was thinking about this last night as I knew I was talking to you, that it seems to me you have to be a little bit of a chameleon because you span so many types of music and bands. I mean, you're, you know, kind of like David Foster just covers a whole crew of people when he plays and writes and sings for people. And a lot of writers and producers kind of stay in their genre. Do you feel like you have to kind of blend in, get a hold of them and blend into what they are to get
That's
them?
Absolutely. It's a huge part of why I've been able to work as much as I have. And I mean, going from a Cher to Poison or to, you know, a soul singer like Mark Broussard and, you know, Avril and Shakira, you really, you know, that's probably the thing I'm most proud of mm-hmm. about what I've been able to do is to kind of, you know, not only do it with different generations of artists, but also on different instruments, which is kind of fun, too, because one of my proudest days, I remember a few years back, I had just finished doing this rock star TV show. And we were working with Paul Stanley from Kiss. And I was playing Kiss songs, which was like a dream come true with the guy from Kiss. And then I got a call from a drummer friend of mine who plays for Mark Broussard, who's a great soul singer from South Louisiana, whose records I had played on. I played piano and Wurlitzer on his records. And they said, hey, we're coming to town. We're playing the Roxy tonight and we don't have a keyboard player. You want to come down? And so I put the Whirly in the car and the guitars in the car and I left for the day and I went to rehearsal with Paul Stanley. Finished that and went over to the Roxy and played keyboards with this soul guy at night. And it was just such a great musical day, you know, and I felt really great to be able to, you know, be in both of those circles on different instruments with different artists that, you know, they probably were 30 years apart.
Those are the days that you walk around just saying to yourself, gratitude, gratitude, gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, that you can't get much better of a musical day than something like that. Even if I wasn't being paid, it would have been a great day.
Absolutely. Since we are, of course, an online travel magazine, and a lot of people come to us for travel, people are curious about the Valley, and that's where you live. So let's talk a little bit about your cue. What's your favorite word to describe your town?
I think it's pretty chill. It's pretty calm. You know, especially compared to the other side of, I call it the other side of L.A., you know, the traffic's a little lighter here. It's a little less of a stay out till 2 a.m. Actually, there's none of that. I mean, because most things close in the Valley by midnight or 1, whereas the other side is, you know, just craziness all through the night. So I just enjoy that it's a little less of the LA scene.
It's a funny thing, isn't it, Jim? Because the Valley, do I dare say this, I will get letters, I'm sure. But the Valley sometimes gets a bad rap, would you say?
It does. You know, it's hotter. That's the biggest thing I think that people have issue with is, you know, it's probably 5 to 10 degrees hotter here than it is if you're in a Santa Monica or, you know, maybe even in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Obviously, closer to the beach, it's going to be even cooler. But it's definitely warmer here and you get a little less of the breeze. But look, you know, if you're coming to LA to see the stars and all that, the Valley's probably not the greatest place to do it. Although, you know, a lot of stars live here in the Valley. Mm-hmm. It's just they're not out and about at the nightlife thing. Whereas the other side, if you go to a hot club, you're probably going to see somebody.
Yeah, go to Ivy at the Shore. What's the most creative? Well, I imagine creative would be in a studio for you. So what's the most spiritual or emotional place for you in the Valley?
Well, there's actually some great like canyons where people, you know, do hiking. I'm a bike rider and I take a route that kind of goes through Burbank and around the zoo, the LA Zoo. And I really like it down there, all the trees, and it's kind of there's very little cars there, and you can kind of ride your bike through, and it can be very calming. Also, Balboa Lake is pretty great, which is literally 5 minutes from my house, and it's a beautiful little lake right here in the Valley. It's
That's
nice.
A long ride from where you live to past the zoo. You're a rider. You're a real pro. You're diehard.
I don't feel so good when I get back from those rides, but I haven't been able to do it as much lately because I've been working so much. But when I can, I like to go out for a couple hours at a time, and yeah, it's fun.
It's very good for the soul, isn't it? I mean, because you're in studios with music and loud and people and nonstop and yada yada. You get on a bike; it must be like church for you.
Well, it's nice. It's one of the solitary things that I really enjoy, being around people all the time. Obviously, I enjoy talking with people and being collaborative when it comes to music. But riding a bike is something that I almost prefer to do by myself. Mm-hmm. And I can go at my own pace and not worry about if I'm, you know, too slow or too fast for somebody. And it's nice.
And for all the places that you travel, what is your favorite smell or taste in your town, in the Valley? What do you love to smell?
Wow. There's a hot dog and hamburger joint called Carney's in Studio City. Mm-hmm. And there's something about it. It's basically an old train that has been converted into a restaurant. It's an old train. And it's up on these stilts, and there's these boards, and it smells like the Jersey Shore boardwalk. I don't know what it is about the boards, but I just love it. It just makes me feel like I'm 12 years old. And every time I go there, I've been going there for years. It smells just like that outside. So we sit outside. So that'd be one of them.
Yeah, I love that. What song or type of music, let's say song, best reflects your part of the world, the Valley?
Well, one of the obvious choices would have to be Tom Petty's Free Fallin', which mentions Ventura Boulevard and Reseda, which is right where I'm living. And he says, living in the Valley. And he lives in Encino, or at least he used to. And a lot of his songs were inspired by this area growing up around here. And Tom Petty's probably the number one guy that comes to mind when it comes for me about the Valley.
Yeah, me too. One of my highlights of my life, and I've interviewed everybody in the world, was seeing Tom Petty do Free Falling in Los Angeles. There's just nobody like him.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah,
he's
best.
He's one of my heroes. Yeah, definitely one of my heroes.
Well, I think you're the best, and I certainly hope you come back and join us here and talk to us again as you travel. But I do want to ask you one more question because, you've been on so many stages, Jim. It's done so much. But when you performed at the Olympics closing ceremony in Vancouver, to me, watching it as an audience member, it was absolutely breathtaking. Was it a different feeling for you? I can't imagine it was just another performance.
the whole experience was definitely one for the books. You know, I'm not sure if the actual performance was something that was much different, but just being there and in the room with all those people, knowing all these athletes who have come around and competed, and it's something that no one can ever take away from me. You know, it's an Olympics performance, and it's one of the few things I probably never thought I would ever do something like that. Same thing with the World Cup performance with Shakira. You know, these are, and actually, it was both in the same year, which was kind of interesting. But those are just special ones that I am really grateful to have been able to do.
Well, you stay in touch with that gratitude, because I have a feeling about you, and my feelings are always on the mark. I think you have no idea where you're headed. This is only the beginning for you, my friend. And what a lovely, lovely conversation to have with you. Really appreciate your time. Because I know where you're headed, and I appreciate your time so much. So thank you, thank you. Will you come back and talk to us?
Absolutely, yeah.
Halfway through the tour? I love it. All right, thank you so much, Jim. Please remember, you can learn more about Jim McGorman and his wonderful inside travel tips for the Valley, which I love because I spent so much time there when I lived in L.A., on ConciergeQ.com. Also, ConciergeQ invites you to discover more great programming at EverydayOpera.com, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Bye.